We're looking at Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as schools and students finish up their work and graduations happen and graduation open houses are happening, there's a lot of transition this time of year. I've also noticed that spring is a time for a lot of other transitions too. Some people are thinking about career change, changing their jobs, and some people are thinking about maybe moving to a different city, a different town, a different school. But even if this is a time of transition, but even if the transitions aren't huge for you, there still may be many smaller transitions as the weather is getting warmer. The grass needs to be mowed now on a regular basis. Plants, flowers need to be planted, mulch needs to be spread, crops need to be planted in the field, and of course, summer vacations need to happen. Some of us are so detail-oriented, we've got our summers nailed down by the day, and we know what we're doing July 16th, and we have it just, you know, every day is planned out. Others, of course, just take it as it comes, and well, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'll figure out what I'm going to be doing. We're different that way, aren't we? But generally speaking, this is a time of transitions. This is a time, a season of transitions. And for Christians, at least, we believe that God may have something to do with our transitions, whether or not they're big ones or small ones. Yes, we plan, we strategize, we schedule, we work to make the transitions happen, just like anybody else. But as Christians, we believe that God directs our lives and our futures, and so it's important for us to ask God what to do next. Where to go next. And if God guides us in our transitions and into our futures, well then, how do we know? How do we discern the direction in which God is leading us? Those are proverbial questions for any young person. But it's not just young people who ask those questions, of course. There are so many good things I could be doing with my life right now. I could be using my skills to help the poor. I could be teaching English as a second language. I could be going abroad and serving food in a shelter for refugees. I could join a committee at church. And by the way, there are a lot of committees in our church who need people on them. So if you're looking for a way to serve and get involved, you're at fellowship, please consider one of the many committees or teams, call them key teams if you don't like the word committee. They're teams that need help. So please consider that. In fact, the amount of good possibilities for your future and your life are almost endless. And the reality is we can't do it all. We can't be there for everybody. We can try a few things, but there's no way we can try everything and then settle down and decide which way to go. And so how do I choose between so many good things that are possible? Which way should I go? What direction should I take? How do I get involved? When do I say no to an opportunity, or to a church commitment, or to work? important questions all. How do we know the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, directing us? Well, in today's Bible reading, we pick up on some important themes regarding God's leading in our lives. First, there's the role of the Holy Spirit in directing our lives as Christians and as the church together. Second, there's the role of the Holy Spirit to open people's hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be receptive to the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. But third, we also see the importance in our scripture reading today, the importance of taking the initiative, of taking risks, moving forward, even when we don't have clear direction to follow at first, because God plans to lead us in the process while we're on the move, when we're in the moment, when we're actively trusting Him and listening to Him, we move forward. Transitions are optimal times in life to be guided by God to new beginnings and to fresh starts, to go toward not just another good thing, but to go toward a God thing for our lives. That is, to go toward that which God is calling us. And that's different from all the many different possibilities, good possibilities that we have, and the choices and opportunities we might have. So first, the role of the Holy Spirit in directing our lives as Christians or as a church together. Throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we see the church of Jesus Christ continuing to grow and the gospel message continuing to spread. People, all kinds of people, are putting their faith in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, for eternal life. Men and women, the rich and the poor, Roman soldiers and violent criminals, Jews and Gentiles, people from the Middle East, and after today's reading, people from Europe as well. The Holy Spirit is empowering God's people to take the good news that Jesus alone saves to the ends of the earth. And you know what? That great missionary activity continues to this day, as the people of God engage in global missions and plant new churches and serve others in Jesus' name. So this activity is the result of a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. And we see that in the missionary activity of the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 16 that we read today, or a portion of that today. Acts chapter 15, you'll remember from last time, was the Jerusalem Council, when believers and brothers and sisters in Christ got together and they decided on what to do about the Gentiles who were coming into the church and how that should affect the law of Moses and whether they should be following those dietary rules and laws or circumcision laws and whatnot. And they decided together that it seemed good, it says in chapter 15, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that we shouldn't make it difficult for the Gentiles to enter the church. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Well, how do they know? How do they know it seemed good to the Holy Spirit? How'd they figure that out exactly? That's what I want to know. How do they know that? So last week we looked at how the Holy Spirit leads administratively, organizationally, as the organized church, that organized religion, gets together, makes decisions together, discusses and debates, decides things for the greater church. Today we're looking at the leading of the Holy Spirit more in the moment, more on the move, as believers endeavor to be obedient to the great commission of Jesus himself. The apostles make their plans, they move forward, they start the journey, and then at some point, as usual, especially in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit shows up, and the Holy Spirit interrupts their plans. The Holy Spirit redirects their steps. Holy Spirit changes their itinerary, upends their agenda. It doesn't mean it's wrong or bad to have plans or to make a plan or to have an itinerary or an agenda. The apostles just need to remain humble and flexible to the leading of the Holy Spirit as they're going along. So as we read verse 6 here, let's take a look at the map this morning. In verse 6, it says, Paul and his companions, they traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So here we have from Antioch, we have the Apostle Paul going through here, the region of Phrygia and Galatia is this whole region here. And here's his path. He's traveling along here, and he's heading up this way. But it says he's kept from preaching the word of God down here in Asia, this part of what is modern-day Turkey right here, this whole region. And back then, this part was called Asia. And these were probably, they were probably going to Ephesus right here or some of the other churches that the Apostle Paul had planted on his first missionary journey there. But it said the Holy Spirit kept them from going there. Now I wonder why. Isn't preaching the word a good thing? Why would they be kept from doing that? Why would they be prevented from going there and preaching the word? And I wonder what that word kept means as well. How exactly did the Holy Spirit keep them from going to Asia? Was it a dream? Was it a vision? Was it a talking donkey on the path? Or was it something else? It doesn't say. Will you ever hear the phrase that when God opens one door or closes one door, he opens another? Well, sometimes I think God closing a door may look more mundane than we think. If you believe God is sovereign over all things, then maybe a broken leg is what God is using to change your path. Maybe it's a head cold or a disease or a disability. Maybe God uses a plant closure at your work in order to change your plans for life. It doesn't mean all these things are good things, but through the Holy Spirit, God may be using some of these things to redirect your paths. Maybe something like this happened to the Apostle Paul and his companions. Has your life, your plans in life ever changed because of a sickness or an accident or a tragedy that happened all of a sudden? Some unforeseen event? The Holy Spirit keeping us from moving forward with our plans may come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. It doesn't have to be a talking donkey that we're waiting for. Whatever it was, these early Christians believed that God was telling them, don't go this way. It wasn't just in their guts individually. They believed, they discerned together as a group of Christians that God was saying, don't go this way. So again, we look at verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And so they are heading from the east to west, but the Holy Spirit keeps them from going south. Let's see that map again. So they're heading from east to west. The Holy Spirit keeps them from going south here to Asia. And now this says the Spirit of Jesus keeps them from heading north to Bithynia right here. So they keep heading this way, keep heading west. They can't go south. They can't go north. So if they're not going to go back the way they came, the only way forward is to keep going west. And we see right there is Mysia and Mysia. And then there's Troas. We'll read about it in a moment. Again, the only thing they want to do is to preach the word there. They only want to do good things, but God says, I have another thing for you. I have another thing for you. Don't go north. And so the open door, besides going back the way they came, was to keep heading west, further and further to the ends of the known world, as they knew it back then. So verses 8 through 10, they tell us, so they passed by Mysia, and they went to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia begging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul had, verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Macedonia is in Europe. The gospel hasn't reached there yet. Together, this fellowship of the apostles discerns this vision of Paul and conclude that the Spirit is indeed leading them to go to Europe, to go to Macedonia. Again, it's not just Paul. It's this group of Christians. Together, they're discerning together which way to go. They're evaluating this vision that Paul had. God in his sovereignty has been leading them the whole way, yes, through dreams and visions and maybe through other ways as well. The Holy Spirit is directing them for many good things to the south, many good things to the north that they want to preach the word to, but they're leading them from a good thing to a God thing. And who do they find when they get there? A dealer down by the river. So next, the role of the Holy Spirit to open people's hearts and minds in order to be receptive to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The role of the Holy Spirit to open people's hearts and minds, to be receptive to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had a vision of this man from Macedonia, but they end up coming across a woman, Lydia. Lydia is another important female character in the Bible, just like Dorcas or Tabitha. She further exemplifies the diverse reach of the gospel to all kinds of people and all kinds of places. So beginning with verse 11, Paul and company, they take a boat from Troas to the island of Samothrace, where they spend the night, and then on to Neapolis. But verse 12, from there we travel to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there a few days. Let's look at that map and look at those places once more. Again, they're heading along this path right here. They're heading to Troas, and they get on a boat, and they go to Samothrace there, and they head over to Neapolis, and they didn't stay there, but they went to Philippi right there. That's where they meet Lydia. See, Paul didn't go to just any old town in Macedonia. He went to the leading city, a capital of sorts, an important city in the region. They certainly traveled along a major highway of the day called the Ignatian Way. This way, from Philippi, the gospel would be able to spread far and wide because of those highways. People were coming and going all the time as they were traveling through there. You see, Paul and company still engaged their brains. They made plans. They had a strategy for ministry. They had mission. They had vision. Unfortunately, too many people believe that being led by the Holy Spirit means that you have to turn off your brains. But that's not true. It means you have to stop thinking and just go along with the flow of the emotions. I want to tell you this morning that not every emotion you have is from the Holy Spirit. Do we know that? Not every emotion you have comes from the Holy Spirit. So Paul and company, they continue to take the initiative. They continue to engage their brains and move forward in a way that seemed best to them. They didn't go to just any old city. They decided to go to the leading city, a capital city. And then their move is confirmed by what happened. A good thing turned into a God thing in this divine appointment that God made with Lydia down by the river. Verses 13 and 14, it says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We went down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was the woman from the city, a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. It was the Sabbath, and the missionaries planned to begin where they think the message will be most receptively heard, in a synagogue. And if there was no synagogue, they figured that God-fearers, God-worshippers, and Jews would gather somewhere for a time of prayer, in a place of prayer. And because of a ceremonial washing, the river would be a natural place for that to happen. So it says, we expected to find a place of prayer. And down by the river, outside the city gate, they find this group of women in prayer, and Paul and company sit down to talk to them, especially about the gospel, of course. And one of the women was Lydia from Thyatira, an Asian city. It was on the map, by the way. She's from that Asian area where they wanted to go in the first place. She was a dealer in purple cloth. And that purple dye was very expensive, and it was very rare. And so scholars believe, and based on the evidence in the text here, that she was well-to-do as well. She was a businesswoman, a successful businesswoman who owned property in an important city here. And she's a worshiper of God, it says. So there, down by the river, it says at the end of verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. You see, Paul was faithful in following the Holy Spirit. He was faithful in planning and strategizing for ministry and looking for opportunities to share the gospel message that Jesus alone saves. And then it says, it was the Lord who opened Lydia's heart to receive the message. It doesn't say she was convinced by his smooth talking or by the arguments that Paul made or that she weighed the evidence and made some decision all on her own. No, it was the Lord who opened her heart to receive the message of the gospel and to believe. And it says she and her whole household were baptized. It does not say that there were no young children or infants in that household, so young children or infants may have been baptized as well. But it was the Holy Spirit who brought her and her household to faith. The role of the Holy Spirit, our role is to be faithful, to be obedient and responsive to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's role to make that heart change in somebody. We can't do that. Only the Spirit can. So next, and finally this morning, the importance of taking initiative yet. The importance of taking initiative, taking risks, moving forward, even if we don't have clear direction at first. We all want to know how exactly the Holy Spirit kept the apostles from going into Asia, or how the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them to go into the region of Bithynia to the north. And the specifics of how the Holy Spirit leads us is probably as unique as we are as individuals. In our culture, in our time, in our church culture, in our church history, how might the Holy Spirit lead us? For example, how open are we to God leading us through a dream or a vision? Are we experienced at all with processing our dreams or visions with other trusted Christians and discerning how the Spirit might be leading us in these ways? Do we see the Spirit leading us through these things called interruptions in our day? Could God be using some of those things to lead us? You see, some of us are hell-bent on achieving our plans, our goals. So we haven't stopped to consider what God might have to say about them, or how the Spirit might be leading us or directing us. There's a fine line there, isn't there? That is, on the one side, you can be so gung-ho, and that you can be so arrogant about what's going on in your own mind, in your own heart, that you've shut out everybody else, the Christian community, that you shut out God's Spirit leading in your life, because, well, you've got your plan, and this is where you're going no matter what. But on the other side of the line, you may be completely passive. I see this a lot. God's going to do what God's going to do. Why bother? God's going to do what he wants to do. Why even pray? Some of us have been sitting around for years waiting for that talking donkey to show up to tell us something, where we know very clearly this is God's direction for our lives. So we don't dare make a move unless we know for sure. And that kind of passivity isn't called for either. Holy Spirit leading may be more mundane than you think, and maybe in the more mundane details of everyday life. So we must be discerning and always listening to the Spirit's leading. In our Bible reading for today, we can see that fine line of trusting, listening to the Holy Spirit, and taking initiative, taking risks, moving forward. The apostles in our reading, and for many of us, we already have a very strong foundation to go on. We know God's commands, his will for our lives. We have experienced his love and his grace in our lives. We know that God is for us and he's not against us. And we know the great commission of Jesus himself to go and to make disciples, to baptize and to teach in all nations. Christians have a lot to go on already as far as God's will. What does God want me to do in my life? We already know so much already. So when it comes to the specifics of the decisions we need to make today, what school do I choose to go to? What job should I take? What internship would be best for me? Who should I marry? When should I retire? When it comes to some of the specifics that those decisions we need to make today, we know that God's got us no matter what, and we know how he's called us to live. We know he will guide us along the way, because we don't know the what right at the beginning, usually, right? We don't have the plan given to us at birth saying, this is the plan for your life, this is where you're going to end up. I never thought I'd end up in this place, that's for sure. Maybe like the apostles, you just start heading west. You don't have clear direction right now. God, I don't know where to go, what to do. I don't know where you're taking me right now, but I'm just going to start heading west. You try to go south, Spirit doesn't lead you. You try to go north, and you just can't go there. So you just keep going west until you get another direction, further direction from the Holy Spirit. How do you get that direction from the Holy Spirit? How do you get that? Do you have dreams? Do you have visions? You get a sick feeling in your stomach when you know you're on the wrong path and you're going in the wrong direction. You know this isn't right and I need to change something. Or do you feel great joy and satisfaction when you know you're not just doing any good thing, you're doing God's good thing right now, and this is where you need to be, and this is the right place? Do you feel that great joy and satisfaction, that affirmation of the Spirit, that you're heading in the right direction? You see, even if we Even if it isn't clear at the get-go exactly which way to go, we still need to take initiative, take risk, keep moving forward in faith, because life is lived by faith, knowing that God will guide us each step of the way. May it be so for all of us. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit today. Give us a heart for the lost and a contagious desire to share the good news about Jesus. Lord, we don't want to go out in our own power and strength today, so we wait upon your Holy Spirit to direct and redirect us to those opportunities. Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to be listening to your Spirit and guided by your Spirit today. We thank you, Lord, that salvation is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So teach us how to listen to your Holy Spirit. Guide us through difficult decisions we need to make today, too. Help us to trust you, even when we cannot see very far into our futures. We give you all the praise and the glory this day and always, praying in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.